Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren here, and I want to invite you to my new home, The Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. It's the official home of country music broadcasting live from Nashville to the world. Get the latest on country music, from your favorite artists to the hottest songs climbing up the charts. Oh, and it's commercial-free. Hear it all on The Stormy Warren Show, weekdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. Or ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway,
inhaling and long exhale out.
Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
All righty, we continue. Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. I had a good calm weekend. Hot Take Hickey was celebrating his birthday and for some reason elected to post on social media how many drinks he was having. And throughout the day, Hickey, how many drinks did you have? I stopped checking in after you put out a photo of yourself in a shower where you were drunk as a skunk. Like, one eye was completely larger than the other, and you wrote pit stop, shower beer, drink number 10, and it looked like you were making out with a Budweiser. So that's when I stopped following. How many beers did you end up having, or how many drinks? What, were they all beers? When you say drinks, it makes me think that you were drinking things other than beers as well.
There were a few shots included as well. The unofficial total was 18 drinks.
18, and I'll tell you, this photo that you posted, and drink number 10, your hair is magnificent. Like, usually when you drink that much, you feel like you turn into a mess and your hair would be all over the place. Maybe you put on a cap. I don't get how your hair is in perfect form as it usually is, Hickey. So I know that's something that you put a lot of time and effort in and you're very proud about is your hair.
I appreciate that. That's after the ocean, too. So thank you, the Atlantic Ocean, for help keeping it styled, I guess.
Wait, you went into the ocean?
Yeah.
And your hair didn't get messed up at
I
all?
I guess not.
That you did before you got in the shower, you didn't pull the Hickey, oh, I'm about to do a video, let me just put like a wad of gel in my hair and do the hair before you get into the shower.
You have highlighted that, yes, I may have overserved myself. So I'm just going to say, in that state, I don't think the thing I'm thinking about is, oh,
I don't know.
Let me make sure my hair looks good. So before I take a shower, after going to the beach, I'm going to just gel up the hair, blow dry, make sure it's looking as Hollywood as possible so I can look good in this photo.
I could see Hickey talking to, how many friends did you have there in the house with you?
It was me and two others.
Okay. I'm a big deal here at CBS Sports Radio. We're going to have you guys do my hair right now before I go put some content out there. We got to make sure that people think, even though I'm posting that I'm like 10 beers deep and you look as drunk as a skunk, that I have an image to uphold and I'm actually somewhat still sober. That's what I think happened behind the scenes. I think your friends, you were spending your 28th birthday. Your friends were doing your hair before you went and provided some content on the internet.
This is a compliment to my friends. They don't care enough about me or my hair to take the time to stop what they're doing and say, oh, yeah, let's get them looking good. Those are the people I want to be hanging out with. They got my back.
So this was clearly a day drink, or I would hope for your purposes. When you woke up the next day, did you, like, look at your story and you're like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have posted some of these pictures?
No, because I don't know if this is a brag, but I do, like, I'm aware. I knew what I was doing. So it wasn't like, there's no regrets. I have not done anything regretful while boozing since college.
I'm almost afraid to ask what was the regretful thing that you did.
I can't think of anything, like, off the top of my head, but I'm just
gotcha.
Like, anytime I'm posting on social media.
You don't,
like,
regret posting that video of you walking out of the Rose Bowl, guaranteeing that Penn State's going to be in the college football playoff?
No. Not at all.
Do you think that will still happen?
Yes.
You think Penn State this year is making the college football playoff?
I think they have a very good chance. It's going to come down to the Michigan game. It's coming down to the Michigan game at home November 12th or whatever it is. You win that game, they're in. Lose that game, they may have a chance to beat Ohio State. Well, they should beat Ohio State.
Yeah, probably
we'll
two SEC teams are going to get in.
We got two Big Ten teams in last year.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to, well, the whole format's changing anyway. But if it stayed at four teams, I don't think that would be a normal occurrence.
Well, this year it's still four.
I understand that. I'm saying moving forward into the future. Like right now, if I ask you who your four teams to go to the college football playoff, who would your four teams be right now? I won't hold you to it. You could change it.
I would say Michigan, USC, Georgia. I don't think Alabama's getting in a fourth.
You don't like Texas right now? Texas
no,
is back?
I do not. Honestly, I'm not trying to be a homer. I think the winner of possibly Ohio State, Penn State. Like I'm looking right now, like I would say the Big Ten is more likely to get two teams in than the SEC is.
No LSU love.
That's an oversight. Can they get? They're gonna have to probably be undefeated or beat Georgia in the SEC title game. I don't think they're gonna give them two losses. So they have one loss, go to the SEC title game and lose. I don't think they're getting in.
And I know they lost a lot, but did you see Joe Milton throwing the football? I think that was at the Manning Academy over the weekend. What a bazooka that guy has.
A howitzer. Yeah, he has a strong arm. He is a very strong arm.
Say that word 10 times fast, why don't you?
Howitzer, howitzer, howitzer. I'll stop after three.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you go any more than that, it would sound like Hickey on Saturday night after his drunk escapade that he was on. You know who your draft comp is? If I had to give you one draft comp?
My draft comp?
Yeah. Like, if you were going to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
At some of the content that I got to see from you this weekend, I would compare you to two quarterbacks.
All right, let's hear it.
Baker Mayfield, potentially.
Well.
Or Stetson Bennett.
I will say, unlike those. Well, there's a lot of dissimilarities between me and those two gentlemen. Athletic ability is definitely not one. But one thing, those two guys have in common that I don't, in trouble with the law. I stay clear.
That we know of. I did see Free Hickey was trending on social media.
Oh, please, please. There's
you don't
no
remember
run-ins.
That?
There's no run-ins. No bail needed. I am.
Well, you and Stetson Bennett got to be similar in age, I would imagine, by now.
Well, that's true. That is very true. Some people graduate in 4 years. Others, you know, hang around a little bit longer.
He never graduated, right?
Well, allegedly.
That was the story?
That is truly a story that has not been confirmed nor denied, but he was nowhere, I guess, near graduation in May.
Could we do this? Could we contact the Rams? Right, that's where he got drafted to. The Rams?
Oh, yeah.
Can we contact the Rams? I want to contact the Rams every week until the season starts or until they give us Stetson Bennett. I want to get Stetson Bennett on. I think it'd be a great interview just because of the fact, right? College legend, two national championships at Georgia. We could talk about his career at Georgia, the great rise, also discuss his NFL future. He got picked in the fourth round. No one thought he was going to get picked in the fourth round. And then just ask him that question at the end. Did you graduate college? Stetson, just inquiring minds want to know, did you actually not graduate college?
Is there a diploma on your wall right now? Let's go.
No, I'm not kidding. I want you to email the Rams and I want to ask him. I want to get Stetson Bennett on the show. That should not be a tough guess for us to get. Ike. If we were able to get Aaron Donald, I don't know if the Rams will ever give me a player after our interview with Aaron Donald. That is fair. When I was asking him about swinging the helmets in the joint practices up against Cincinnati Bengals, and he turned into the greatest spokesman ever for Dr. Teal. So I may be on the no-fly list, the no-interview list with the Los Angeles Rams. But let's at least try to get Stetson Bennett on.
If they said, you got to do an Oklahoma drill with Aaron Donald, you don't have to win. Just do one Oklahoma drill, and you can have Stetson Bennett on the show. Would you do it?
No.
Okay.
Actually, you know what I would? You know why? It'd be a good radio bit. It'd be good content.
Sure. I would also be a little fearful of your life.
I would start looking for people that are 6'4", 6'5", and are loudmouths on the radio to maybe try to play my stunt double. That's what I would be looking for.
Oh, man. I don't know.
You're the kid that is afraid to eat escargot. Like, think about that. If I hired a stunt double to go up against Aaron Donald in an Oklahoma drill, that's weak in your eyes? That's something that you think is weak and lame with the way that you just said, oh, man.
Well, it's just more like the spirit of the question was, I mean, sure, you'd try to get out of it, but, you know, push comes to shove. They say no stunt doubles. Are you strapping up the shoulder pads,
yeah,
putting the helmet on,
sure,
getting in a three-point stance and trying to block Aaron Donald?
I accomplished a lot in my 28 years of living. If that's my last if that's the way that I go, getting absolutely destroyed by Aaron Donald at Oklahoma drill, I could live with that. And if I do survive, then maybe I get a nice little lawsuit out of it. It could give me like $1 million.
He's got plenty of money. He's all right.
Just $1 million. I'm not asking for much.
Maybe a little bit of the Dr. Teal sponsorship, too. Maybe you guys can be partners.
I don't know. I don't know if I could ever endorse that product. Oh, if they pay me, I could. But right now, I think that would be good to keep the beef up against Aaron Donald and Dr. Teals.
I played against Aaron Donald, and now the only thing I use for my recovery, because boy, do I need it, is Dr. Teals. Let me tell you, these salt baths, they really help.
You know, I kicked the crap out of Aaron Donald in an Oklahoma drill. He now uses Dr. Teals because I gave him such a good beating.
That works, too. That's true. Yeah, I don't know why I'm writing you off so fast. You can block him.
I'd be hitting up Derrick Henry. Hey, Derrick Henry, have any advice for me? Please. What should I do? Need some help. I wouldn't be hitting up the Bengals offensive line, I'll tell you that, because in that Super Bowl, it looked like they were allergic up against Aaron Donald.
Well, that's where the helmet swinging, right, ensued, so that's also another reason. Steer clear. Anything they do really aggravates them, too.
I may be the first person to actually ask for no helmets to be involved in this Oklahoma drill. Because if he rips off my helmet and then starts beating me over the head with my helmet, then I don't think I would do too well. I think I'd be dead on the scene.
Not to mention, I don't know many strong men that will be able to rip Aaron Donald off you if that's the case.
Yeah, that's
so
a good point.
You asking for help. I don't think the Rams, after last year's interview, would be, let's say, rushing over to help, maybe really slow. So maybe exactly there wouldn't be the sense of urgency you need to really bail you out in that situation.
May need to place a phone call to my guy at the Buffalo Bills, Deion Dawkins. I thought we had a good relationship with Andrew Whitworth this year when he came on the show.
You dressed like him.
Yeah.
We sweatshirt over the blazer.
The sports code and then the blazer, like Hickey was saying, his style. I think that we have both Whitworth and Deion show up to try to help me out here. And a little
Deion
border in front of me.
Is your best chance, for sure.
Yeah. And I think the Bills have enough problems right now where I don't think Deion's going to come help me.
That's true. That is very true.
As much as I love Deion, but they're trying to go win a Super Bowl, and you got Stephon Diggs right now. Just, I don't know what the heck he's doing with the Buffalo Bills. Could you believe, and you know me, I've been a big defender of Sean McDermott. I don't like the way that he handled the Stephon Diggs situation. I don't like the way that Diggs handled that situation. There was no need to give him a contract extension. His deal was through 2025. It's not as if you were entering the final year of that contract and they extended him and Brandon Bean through 2027. I'm just going to ask it because of the timing of this, Hickey. Do you think that was a message to Stephon Diggs where we don't like the way that you acted? We don't know. Well, I'm sure they know who their issues with, but we don't know. Is it Bean? Is it McDermott? Is it Ken Dorsey? Is it Josh Allen? You read something new each and every day. Is that the Pegula family kind of saying to Stephon Diggs, you had this mess, it was so unnecessary, now we're going to go tack on some years to the contract of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and kind of show you who really runs this organization?
I thought I read today that it's been, I guess, it's been signed for a while, now it just came out, so maybe the timing of me making it public is definitely to send a message, because you would think, again, if you see what's going on, the Bills organization is going to back their GM and head coach over panicking and saying, okay, Stephon, we'll placate to you. I definitely think the timing is, let's say, not a coincidence in terms of now announcing this a week or so, week and a half after the kerfuffle. Like, can we call it a kerfuffle? I guess maybe not.
Oh, we could definitely call that a kerfuffle.
The blow up?
It's definitely a kerfuffle. You had a meeting. Now, no one got physical that we know of. That would really be something.
That would be.
But what we don't know is, did Stephon Diggs just leave and tell them to bleep off, I'm not going to practice? Or he just told them to bleep off and maybe they said, it's best that you go home? That's the part that we don't know. But something in that realm of what happened in talking about his targets at the end of the season, how he needs the ball more, something happened there. And the question still remains, was he dismissed or did he just leave and tell them I'm not coming to practice, even though he reported for the medicals on Monday and then reported for that meeting on Tuesday?
Do you think, let's just give it some time, let's say by the end of this season, do you think we'll ever find out the actual truth?
I think it depends on what the Buffalo Bills do this year. If they don't win a Super Bowl, or they don't get to a Super Bowl, and Stephon Diggs is not happy with his role, then I do believe we'll find out what actually happened. If they win, what's the point of talking about it then? Because then you could kind of just look back and go, oh, yeah, that was a funny moment. See, the media made such a big deal out of it. And then we probably won't find the truth on that one. So if the Bills are dysfunctional this year, then we'll probably find out the truth, because either Stephon and his camp will start talking or the Bills will start talking, because I'm going to assume here Stephon Diggs wasn't in the right in that meeting when you had the blow up, because Sean McDermott, who you could say what you want about him as a head coach, the Bills before he got there didn't make the playoffs since 1999. That was the last year they made the playoffs. He gets there. They have made the playoffs, what is it, 5 out of his 6 years there? Yeah, 5 out of his 6 years there. So think about that. The guy's a good football coach. Now, you could wonder if they're going to get over the hump and win their first ever Super Bowl. That's a fair question. But I think Sean McDermott has been very calculated in everything he does. And I think the moment got the best of him because he was annoyed with the way that Stephon Diggs was acting. And he showed up there and he said he was very concerned. And the next day it was, oh, it's the media's fault. Everyone blew it out of proportion. People have covered press conferences enough. I'm always concerned when a player's not on the practice field, blah, 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 blah. He was backpedaling and he was covering up there the next day, Hickey, because it got to a point where it was just stupid for 24 hours.
And Diggs was at practice. You can try to then quell everything and say, see, it's all good here. Whereas I think he was trying to purposely get his message across the day before. And I don't think it was an accident that the media craze kind of stirred up after that.
The more and more I think about it, and you know me, I've been very pro Buffalo Bills the last few years on this show, even as a Patriot fan, in terms of believing in the Buffalo Bills. I keep on thinking that the Miami Dolphins are going to win the AFC East this year. I don't know why. I think a big part of it is that everyone expects that Tua Tagovailoa won't get through the season healthy, and you should have no reason to believe that Tua Tagovailoa is going to get through the season healthy. But whenever someone keeps on saying, oh, Tua won't get through a season healthy, Tua won't get through a season healthy, I just keep on going back to one of those things, Hickey, where we joke about it all the time. Whenever everybody says one thing is going to happen, usually the opposite does occur in sports.
I hope, I really hope, I'm picking the Dolphins to make the playoffs, so in part I am blindly agreeing with you in a way of believing he'll be more available than not this season to help get them to the playoffs. But if he plays, let's say even 16 games
well,
out of 17, not a big win, but also too, like I said, with the talent they have, especially in offense, they'll be right there.
If he gets hurt, it's just that it's one, not a concussion. That's a big part of it. Cause I do think him being allowed to get on the field is going to be longer than what a normal player would be that was not in the spotlight with concussions. I think there will be a lot of backlash to it. And the other part is, if he does get hurt and he only misses a few games, just hope it doesn't happen right before the playoffs. Because we didn't get to see Tua in the playoffs last year because, what, it's a second or third concussion, whatever they want to tell you on the record. When he suffered it up against the Green Bay Packers, he was never able to play another game that year and didn't get out of concussion protocol until after the Pro Bowl. Because I remember when that was going on, there was a report Pro Bowl week, which no one really cares about the Pro Bowl, that Tua is still in concussion protocol. I go, oh, there's still concussion protocol after the season ends, right? You would think, oh, just the next time you show up for your physical, that's when you would get cleared out of it. But I didn't realize that if you were in the protocol, that continued once the season does end.
And that's almost 3 weeks, almost a month since, like, you know, since the Dolphins were eliminated from the playoffs. So it's like you look back and when he suffered it.
Well, that
on,
was Christmas, right?
Yeah, Christmas Day. So 6 weeks.
Yeah, more than a month.
He was in the concussion protocol, which is very scary. When you, again, if he gets another one, I'm with you. I don't think he's. We've seen players suffer a concussion and then be able to play the next week, or maybe miss one game. I would venture to say if he does, unfortunately, suffer another concussion, he'll be out way longer than that.
And it'll be a major talking point from a media standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because big risk the Dolphins are taking.
Because of what happened last year. That was one of the biggest stories from the NFL season and where the coverage was for it. And it's also a very serious issue. If he suffers another concussion, I don't think this is going to be, oh, he'll just be back the next week. I really think he'll get treated differently. And I understand why, because if he suffers one more concussion, that could be the end of his career as we know it in the NFL. It is Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. I think we know who our Hard Knocks team is going to be. We will get to that on the other side and also talk about some intriguing teams in the NFL for this upcoming season.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb show.
It is the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. So I saw our pal Mike Florio reported that the Jets are bracing to be forced into doing Hard Knocks. Now, we all know a little while back, Robert Saleh said there's a lot of teams that would want to do Hard Knocks. The Jets are not one of them. There was four teams because of the parameters in terms of how you get forced to do Hard Knocks. You can't have a first-year head coach, I know, is one. And then also is if you made the playoffs, I think you're off the hook. So the Jets didn't make the playoffs. The Jets don't have a first-year head coach now with Robert Saleh going into year three with the Jets. So it's one of those situations where they're going to be in a situation where they could get forced into doing Hard Knocks. I'm trying to remember who the other teams were, Hickey. Do you remember the other teams that could potentially do that out of the four teams that could do Hard Knocks?
Bears, Commanders, Saints are the three options. It's obvious.
Bears outside of Justin Fields, really no juice. The Commanders, how much are they going to actually show you about the sale with Daniel Snyder? And the Saints, how many times have we, you know what? The Saints wouldn't be terrible, but like, do I need to see Derek Carr on Hard Knocks? I really don't. The Jets are the obvious one. Here's the one thing I'll ask you. Why would the Jets be opposed to doing Hard Knocks? They're going to have so much media coverage this year as it is, and so many more cameras there already because you have Aaron Rodgers and you're in the New York media market. I don't get why the Jets are so skeptical and want to resist doing Hard Knocks, and the NFL has to force them into doing it. That part to me doesn't make any sense.
Every team calls it a distraction. That's always their excuse. My guess, because I would agree with you, my guess is just honestly taking time to look at the footage to see what stays and what goes. I don't know who's making the final call. Like, I don't know if Robert Saleh's sitting there with the crew saying, oh, that's good, take that out.
The teams have a lot of say in what actually right. gets on the air from the conversations that I had with Hugh Jackson when the Browns were on Hard Knocks.
I don't know if that's Joe Douglas, their GM, sitting. Like, I don't know who makes the decision of what stays and what goes. Maybe that is what they're talking about in terms of time-consuming. Because I mean, think of that. They're filming, what, all day, basically? So I don't know if you're, like, I don't know how that process works. But
what are the negative storylines with the Jets right now? It's for the first time in a long time, the Jets are viewed in a positive way. Like, you're annoyed that Mekhi Becton is going to have a blow-up in training camp, or Quinnen Williams, who wants a new contract, that will be public? But we've seen some worse situations on Hard Knocks. You know, Joe Philbin having to cut Chad Johnson after his arrest. The whole Antonio Brown situation with the Raiders, like, that is as ugly as you could get. And, you know, for a team that's having Hard Knocks, and we didn't really get anything out of that because the team has so much control as it is. Oh, what is the NFL? Or are the Jets afraid maybe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be talking about ayahuasca? Like, he just did that at a convention. So I really don't know why the Jets would be so opposed to this.
My guess, because I would agree on the surface, it seems fine. My guess would be they're afraid of their plays getting stolen or giving,
what?
Again, free intel to other teams. You know how coaches are. Coaches are so crazy, like,
okay,
to the point of delusion. They think everyone's always here trying to steal their plays and get information.
This is Aaron Rodgers' offense. We've seen Aaron Rodgers' offense the last, what, 15 years in the NFL? And his best friend, Nathaniel Hackett, is coaching the offense. What plays are going to get leaked? Behind-the-scenes footage that is going to get out there from the B-roll that they throw of Aaron Rodgers throwing passes, where now all of a sudden when the team has control of it, that they're afraid that those plays are going to get in the hands of a big, bad Bill Belichick. Like, what are we doing here?
I would agree. Again, at this point, with how much media the coverage there is anyway, I don't see much of a difference. I'm with you. I'm trying to guess reasons as to, like I said, the reluctance of really every team, but especially the Jets, of why they wouldn't want to do it.
I'm going through this. The potential negative storylines, I can only think of two. The Quinnen Williams contract, and if Mekhi Becton has some problem with the organization. That's it. Marco Belletti, let me ask you this. The Jets' resistance to doing Hard Knocks, where now it looks like they're going to be forced to do so. Well, have you come up with any reasons outside, like Hickey said, oh, maybe they don't want their offense being leaked out to the public in some of the shots that they get and the paranoia of coaches. I know teams could view this as a distraction, but I'm looking at this Jets team right now. I don't see really many negative storylines that you look at that you go, oh, my goodness gracious, this is going to be a real distraction for the Jets.
I don't think it's negative storylines. I think it's, for the first time, the Jets have their priorities in order, and it's about winning, and it's about getting to a Super Bowl and possibly winning a Super Bowl. They put all the chips in the middle of the table. They got Aaron Rodgers. They know it's a small window. They realize anything that can be a distraction is not worth it. For the first time, really, Honestly, since Woody Johnson took over and probably before that, the Jets actually have things lined up and they realize what the ultimate goal is and they don't want anything in the way. And unfortunately for them, this is going to be in the way because the NFL is going to step in.
That's a good way of actually putting it, where the priority for the Jets for so many years seemed to be just getting
the back page.
The back page.
That's all they cared
about. Billing and the drama in New York. And now all of a sudden it's okay. Let's actually put a product on the field that fans could be proud of.
And I think it's because they realize, you know, whether it's Douglas, whether it's Saleh, whatever it is. Hey, look, guys, we got a small window here. Now, I know we got some young talent. There's the Sauce Gardeners, the Garrett Wilsons. There's a small window because now they have a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. They feel like they can get them to the promised land. The last thing that they need is to scrutinize anything, any stupid little thing. Because Hard Knocks, as much as we all enjoy it and it's all fun, really, it does kind of highlight a bunch of little nuanced things that teams don't probably necessarily want out there. Sometimes it's fun, but do the Jets really want the Rex Ryan, let's go get a snack thing? Like, we don't need that if you're the Jets right now. They want to make sure that Aaron Rodgers doesn't get any little snippet where he's talking about ayahuasca or whatever nonsense. They don't want any of that. They just want to be able to put together a competent team, get everything in order, and get to week one.
All I could think of when the Jets last did Hard Knocks, it was the let's go eat a GG snack and then Antonio Cromartie losing count of how many kids that he had.
Right.
The ayahuasca and Aaron stuff is going to be great.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, look, Aaron Rodgers, we know he's a strange bird. So you know with the camera on him, so he's going to say something.
By the way, true or false, you got a lot of joy last week when he was speaking. What convention was he at again?
It was like a psychedelic Denver convention try to make them legalized.
You got a lot of joy last Friday playing the cuts because every cut you played of Aaron Rodgers, I had just tears rolling down my face.
Again, look, he's definitely odd. What he's saying doesn't necessarily... I actually agree sometimes.
Everyone's going to try to cancel me.
Well, that's nonsense. But there are certain things that's why it's kind of funny to me.
Started taking ayahuasca MVPs. Here we come.
Yeah. There's certain things that he says that you're kind of like, wait, what? And there's other times where you're kind of like, that makes sense. And then unfortunately, he usually follows it up with another sentence that makes you go, wait, what? So I don't think the Jets want Hard Knocks, everybody watching it and having a ball laughing at whatever it is. Whatever it is. Aaron Rodgers kind of like, you know, side by side with Garrett Wilson trying to explain ayahuasca and all the benefits of it. Do the Jets need that? They're smart enough to realize they don't. The problem is there's four teams that could be forced to do this. And really, have you broken it down?
Yeah.
The Bears. Who the hell cares?
Commanders.
The Commanders. Do we really need an inside look on that disaster? No.
Outside if they show us the whole sale process, which they will never show you.
So nobody cares.
And then the Saints.
Another bore fest. Like, there's nothing 100%. There. There's nothing there. They really wanted somebody to step up and volunteer to do it that had some juice. No one wants to do it. There's a reason. The Jets are going to be forced because the juice is there. They wanted them to volunteer for it. Never mind be forced to do it. Now the Jets are going to be the pick.
Yeah, I do not need photos of Derek Carr going to Cafe Du Monde to try his first ever beignet.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And Hard Knocks has kind of been bad the last few years. I know everyone loved the Lions last year. I thought it was good on social media with the clips. I didn't think when you watched the whole hour long it was great. The Jerry Jones with the salt on the McDonald's sandwich from a few years ago and Dak and Zeke gifting each other presents.
Look, there are times...
It's lost its luster for me.
There are times when it sucks. Let's be fair. Because you're not getting a whole lot, and there's a reason why you're not getting a whole lot. But they are based on little moments, small little moments. Yeah. And you're right, social media type stuff. But again, the Jets are smart enough to realize, is this juice worth the squeeze? No.
But can you really prevent that now in the year of 2023?
Yeah, but again, for them, they look at it like, what's the benefit of doing it? 15 years ago, whatever, 10 years ago, you're talking about the back page. Like, okay. But like now, do you need this?
No.
You've got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You don't need this for the back page. You won the back page. You got it.
So go on McAfee every week.
You got it. You don't need any more. And this is more that the Jets are smart enough to realize they don't need. But again, the NFL is going to force them because they only have four teams they can force. No one's going to step up. It has to be the Jets. If you're the NFL, you cannot allow us to sit there and talk about gumbo with the Saints and Derek Carr. You can't because no one's going to watch it. And their partner in HBO is going to be like, I can't put this on there. Who the hell wants to see this?
Another Bears quarterback. We'll see if Justin Fields could be the guy and claw his way through the ranks of Chicago. Yeah,
the Commanders. Look, Howell's really good. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
All right, Hickey, give me a little NFL music right here. Let's go through right now, do a draft. Not the best teams in the NFL this year, but the most intriguing with the Jets about to get selected to do Hard Knocks this year, or forced to do Hard Knocks this year. I'll start off. I'll go with the Jets. The Jets, to me, not the best team in football, but the most intriguing team. I just want to see how this Aaron Rodgers experiment is going to go. Your pick.
I will go Broncos. Russell Wilson rebound. Sean Payton now back on the coaching sidelines. How will that dynamic work? And if it goes south, could we already see 2 years and Russell Wilson out the door? I'll go the Broncos, second most intriguing team.
I will take the Dallas Cowboys. A championship caliber defense, but on offense, you've paid Dak Prescott a lot of money. In the last 2 years, he's failed in the postseason. Kellen Moore no longer there. Always going to be intrigue with Mike McCarthy. I'll go with the Dallas Cowboys. In an NFC that's open, you have the Eagles and 49ers, two best teams. Can they not only be the third best team in the NFC, but be a legit threat to get to an NFC title game, or dare I say it, a Super Bowl?
I'll go Cleveland Browns. A lot of talent. Obviously, the biggest question, the biggest focus is going to be how Deshaun Watson plays. Cleveland basically sold their soul to go get him. Now this is the first year where you can truly reap the rewards, if you want to say, of that deal. And I think it's one where I think a lot of people will be watching their season.
I will take the 49ers next. We all know the talent that's on that team, but that quarterback situation appears to be a mess. If Brock Purdy's healthy, it's going to be his job. How great is Brock Purdy actually off the 8 games that we saw last year, albeit impressive? And if it's not him, do they go back to the Trey Lance well? Do you see Sam Darnold? That quarterback room and maybe the arrogance of Kyle Shanahan and not finding his long-term quarterback is intriguing to me.
I'll stick in the AFC North. I'm going to go with the Ravens here. They paid Lamar, obviously, but they're changing their offense. They're going now with Todd Monken to be more of a pass-first offense and kind of getting away from the zone read sort of offense that they ran a lot with Lamar Jackson kind of running first, then send the pass. They're going to try to pass first, set up the run. I'm really intrigued with how Lamar does play in that new style of offense with Odell Beckham, amongst other receivers now kind of brought in as well.
I'm going to go to the North here in the NFC, and I'm debating between two teams. I'm going to go with the Vikings here. Justin Jefferson, will they be able to get a deal done? I know he has 2 years left in the contract, if you count in this year. Kirk Cousins, what looks like to be his final year. You had a team that was really good last year, but no one thought they were great. And now a lot of people expect regression. I'm just intrigued what Minnesota will be. They have talent. They just got rid of Dalvin Cook. And a lot of people are hot on the Detroit Lions. I'm intrigued by Minnesota this year, also with Flores coming in as a defensive coordinator.
I'm intrigued by Seattle. They've gotten a lot of love this offseason.
By me.
By you especially, but others too. Like, there's been talks by many people that the Seahawks could be the third best team in the NFC going into this year. I don't buy it personally in large parts. I don't believe in Geno Smith, but that's now a story with how well he played in 2022 and getting Seattle to the playoffs. Now the question is, can you repeat it? Something I think we'll be watching all year long.
All righty. I will make my final selection. I am going to go with the Miami Dolphins. I think the Dolphins could be a serious threat in the AFC as long as Tua Tagovailoa is healthy. And then if Tua can't stay healthy this year, what do they do this offseason? Because you have a team that has a roster that's one of the more talented rosters in the league. If Tua can't stay healthy this year, you're going to have to look for a quarterback.
I'll go back to the NFC North here to finish off my last pick. I'm going to the Lions. This is a team that, for the first time in truly a long time, has actual realistic expectations. Jared Goff, especially the second half of the year, played well. Now can you keep on going and now build off of that strong finish of the season and get this team to the playoffs?
Three teams that were left off the list, Hickey, that I do think are all intriguing. Green Bay, what is Jordan Love going to be? And I will say the Arizona Cardinals as well. Is this it for Kyler Murray when he gets back, and how much is this regime going to believe him? I know he just signed that new contract, but if they get the number one overall pick, it could be Caleb Williams' time for the Arizona Cardinals. And then the final team that I'll give you of just a team that is intriguing to me, it's actually the LA Rams. I don't think anyone thinks the LA Rams are going to be any good this year, but they did just win the Super Bowl 2 years ago. We have a lot of guys that it's 1 foot in, 1 foot out. There was some talk about Stafford retiring, some talk about Aaron Donald. How much longer is Cooper Kupp going to be there? And last year, that team got hit with an injury bug. And also, Sean McVay. What's his long-term status looking like with the LA Rams? So I'll throw the Rams in the hopper there as well. So those are some teams that are intriguing entering this year in the NFL. You know, I'm surprised you actually didn't say, Hickey. Two teams that I'm surprised you didn't say. I'm surprised you didn't end up going with Buffalo with how much Buffalo's been in the news. And I thought, Mr. I hate the Patriots and Hot Take Hickey would have gone with the Patriots in the narrative that you've been pushing that this could be it for Bill Belichick at one Patriot place.
It's a storyline I'm watching. It's absolutely a team that I'm intrigued by, but I would say kind of the other ones because, like, yeah. I just, like, I do think there's an actual chance he's fired, but, like, realistically, will they be 4-13 and it's over? I would say no.
No. I think Belichick is going to have to miss the playoffs 3 straight years in a row for him to get fired. And this would be 2 straight if they miss it this year, back-to-back years. And then I would think it would be the next year of them missing the playoffs. So 3 in a row before he does get fired. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You find the Colts intriguing at all? Your football team? Just wondering, heading into the season?
Oh, yeah. I'm very intrigued to see how Anthony Richardson plays. Like, he is out of the four quarterbacks. The big four, I think, is the most intriguing. Bryce Young, we know what we got. CJ Stroud, I think, is in a bad situation. Will Levis is probably not going to play. So, almost by default, but Richardson, I think, will play, and I think he's the biggest question mark, biggest project by far.
Yeah, well, all it takes is Will Levis put a little extra mayo in that coffee, and then he becomes the most intriguing quarterback from this draft class. I really do believe that's the case. But Will Levis could be a rock star, big-time rock star. That's your guy, too. Former Penn State Nittany Lion. You love him.
Former battering ram that played quarterback.
Oh, man. I'm really disappointed he didn't wind up with the Colts. But I do agree with you. Out of the four quarterbacks this year, the one I'm most intrigued by is Anthony Richardson. Doesn't mean he's the best, because I think that's Bryce Young, but I'm most intrigued by Anthony Richardson.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Chris Haynes has reported that Damian Lillard, his agent and management for the Portland Trail Blazers, are meeting today to discuss the franchise's direction. This is Chris Haynes saying that the Trailblazers believe they aren't in a rebuild. Courtesy of Bleacher Report, remember, Damian Lillard says that he didn't want Portland to use the third pick on a youngster, and he wants to move forward with veteran players so he can go out there, per reports, and compete for a championship.
We saw Joe Cronin, the general manager of the Trailblazers, last week say that Scoot Henderson, they feel, was the best choice to pick in that draft. It felt like picking him was better than any other trades that could have been had. And so that's what they're trying to sell to Dame. They're trying to sell to Dame that they're not in a rebuild. They're getting a little bit younger, but they're not in a rebuild. And so they want Dame to continue on with the process of them still trying to talent seek and still trying to figure out ways of making moves, whether that's via free agency or trade scenarios.
Chris Haynes also on what Damian Lillard is looking for from the Trailblazers.
One thing I can say about him, like, he doesn't want to be on a team that is just stacked. He doesn't want to have a team where it's just 3 all-stars or 3 superstars, and then they go in and battle that way. No, he just wants a team that has a shot. And if you look at the teams that he's been on all throughout his career, he's never really had a shot. And now Joe Cronin, I believe Joe Cronin just finished his second year as general manager. So this is a different regime, but they're kind of selling the same or going over the same talking points. And so Dame is trying to give the organization time to come up with something. That's all Dame is asking for, come up with something. He doesn't want to go younger. He wants to get older. He wants to get older with proven veteran players. He wants to win now. So is there a middle ground? Is there a middle ground that can be reached in this meeting with Damian Lillard and his agent?
Is there a middle ground? Sure. Is there a middle ground where you'll actually believe that you're going to go win an NBA championship or you have to get talked into it? I think that's different. I don't think there's a way that the Trailblazers are going to be able to do anything in the next month or two that makes me think that they could legitimately go out there and win a championship. And Hickey, when he talks about not wanting to go play with multiple superstars, the team that goes right to mind, the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, just starting to get considered as a top 10 player in the league. I don't think anyone considers Bam Adebayo a superstar. They have a shot. They just went to the NBA Finals. They've been to two NBA Finals, what, since 2020? That's a perfect destination. So if it's Tyler Hero and picks that gets the job done, so be it. I keep on going back to Miami on that one.
Nets don't fit the bill, too. He's brought that out there. He wants to play Mikal Bridges. He is not a star. If you want to, you know.
You're not winning a championship with the Nets. Mikal Bridges and Damian Lillard, as much as I love both of those players, come on.
I would agree, but does he want a chance? Do you consider Brooklyn having a chance?
No. Be in the playoffs, maybe get to the second round, but that's about it. Here's RG3 on what he thinks is the source of Stephon Diggs' frustration, this courtesy of the Rich Eisen Show.
I think it's clear this is a personal thing between Josh and Diggs, and they have to get their partnership back on the field, and that's part of playing quarterback. I think Josh Allen's running into that right now. Everything is fine until it's not fine in a relationship when it comes to a quarterback and a wide receiver like Diggs. So Josh has to manage that relationship the right way, and I think he's the only one that can rectify it. I've talked with people close to the situation, and really what it boils down to is in that last game against the Bengals, Diggs was the most targeted receiver in that game. I think he had 10 targets in that game. But when they were down 17, they had a 10-play drive that ended in a turnover on downs, and Diggs only got one ball thrown his way. So you would think that a player of Diggs' caliber with the relationship that he has with Josh Allen – in those moments, he would look to him more often, and that didn't happen.
I know that everyone's annoyed that the Bills didn't get to the level that we thought they were going to go last year, but if that is true, that this is just a target issue with the numbers that Stephon Diggs put up last year, why wasn't this fixed during the offseason? I know there's rules about how much you can communicate, but not between players. And that's the alarming part, that it took this long, if that's true, for Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs to try to iron this out if it's only about targets. Take a break. We'll come on back. Five questions, five answers, little onsides, offsides when we return.